So welcome to Rockside Church today. We're going to talk about being brought back to life. And we're not going to just talk about salvation, although we are going to talk about that today. But I believe there are many of you here today. There are areas of your life, your relationships that have been dead for a really long time. And today, God is speaking to you, and he is going to help you be able to have those things come from death to life. Amen. Resurrected out of your life. And I'm just so thankful. Thankful for answered prayers. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in laying on the hands, anointing people, praying for them, not because of anything that we can do, but because of the power in the risen Savior. Amen. So let's pray as we get into our message this morning. Father, we honor you. You are the main attraction today, Jesus, our risen Savior, and we give you first place. God, I pray right now that you would open all of our ears, our hearts, to what you would have to say to us. Father, speak to us clearly. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that your anointing is here. We thank you for the word of God that's living and active. And Father, we just ask today in this moment that you would speak to us. Show us the areas of our life that are dead, that need to come to life. For some, you've been knocking on the door of our heart for a long time. And so for some, they're going to say yes to you today, Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your love and your grace that you just pour out. Thank you for your presence here today as we worshiped you, Lord. We love you, God, in your precious name. Amen. Well, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, we are celebrating more than just a one-time event that occurred 2,000 years ago, all right? The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a historical fact. Do you guys know that? It is not just a story. It's not just something that we read about. It is literally a historical fact. And if you are somebody who loves to study that kind of thing, I would encourage you to check out Case for Christ and other things. There are so much proof to the resurrection. I'm not going to have time to go over it all today, but it is incredible when you begin to study and look at it, the proof that we have. There are those, though, that would want to deny it and say, oh, that didn't really happen. And you know what? That's going to be the way it is for all of eternity. But let me just give you a couple brief things that you can look at later. One of the proofs that they talk about is that the women were the first to find out that Jesus had arose. Now, if you were going to be trying to make up a story back in that day, you would have not had women be the first to come find out the story. They were not educated. They weren't seen to have any kind of power or influence. And so if you were trying to make something up and get people to believe it, you certainly wouldn't have had women to be the first to find that out. Make sense? That's one thing. Look it up. It's pretty interesting. The other thing is they buried Jesus in Jerusalem, right where everybody was at, right where there were all kinds of people. So again, if you were going to try to falsify something, you would bury them a long way away where there's not anybody, where you couldn't find out what's really going on. But they buried him right there in Jerusalem where all kinds of people were eyewitnesses to it. Okay, just another quick one. Another thought that you can look up to, and I would encourage you to study, there are multiple historians that weren't Christ followers, Roman historians, Jewish historians, that they wrote about history during that time, and they wrote about a man named Jesus dying and being buried and being seen after he had been crucified. So there's lots of historical proof to the fact that we know the resurrection happened. It's incredible, and I encourage you to do more study in that. But we, as Christ followers, know that he died, right, for our sins. A brutal death, a brutal crucifixion that almost basically they couldn't even recognize him because he was so beaten and wounded for our sins. We cannot forget the pain and the agony that he as a man went through for you and I, for the sins in our lives. And he was buried. But then today, come Sunday, right? Today we celebrate the fact that he rose again. And that's what we get to celebrate. We get to live a resurrected life because of what Jesus did for us. Amen? The greatest evidence of the resurrection is that lives have been brought out of the grave to walk in newness of life. I'm one of those people. I found Jesus when I was little, 5 years old, and my life has never been the same. I haven't been a perfect life, but Jesus has walked with me all the way through. My life is different and changed because of what Christ did for me on the cross. And I know there are many of you in this room, you have that same story. Amen? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 5:17. We're going to look at a few scriptures today, so make sure you have whatever your device or whatever Bible. It says this, "And if Christ had not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins." It's important that Christ raised from the dead. It's important that we have the ability to be forgiven of our sins, because otherwise we would have been paying for our own sins. But Jesus came as that lamb, as that sacrifice, so that you and I wouldn't have to do that. How incredible is that? That's our Savior. He's done that for us. So Easter, so today, is God's invitation to us to become an active participant in his resurrection. That's his invitation for you today. Become an active participant in his resurrection. It's an invitation to a new and a changed life. Amen? Anybody new need some change going on? Anybody need some newness of life? That's what Jesus is here for. So here are some questions I want you to ponder as we look at some more scripture. Are you or are we living in the power of his resurrection? Is his resurrection on display in your life? It's a question, right? Are we living in the power of his resurrection, and is his resurrection on display in our lives? You may not realize this, but you are a walking sermon in shoes. If you know Jesus, you're preaching a sermon all the time. Hopefully that sermon is pointing people to Jesus, right? You are the only Bible that some people may ever read. There's responsibility. If we're Christ followers in the room, there's responsibility on how we live our life, how we lead our life, what we do. Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, but it is important that we are leading as an example. Amen? Romans 6:4 says this, "For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." Now, we believe in water baptism here. We're an Assemblies of God church. And so when you get water baptized, that is a representation of us identifying with Christ's death and his resurrection. Amen? So we get to partner. We get to be a part of that because of water baptism. Some of you in here, maybe you haven't been water baptized. We're going to be doing that here shortly. And if that's not happened for you, we encourage you to sign up. But it helps us to be able to identify and walk with Christ, participate in what he's gone through. You and I are called by God to live in the power of his resurrection. Pretty quiet here. Our faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ has placed us in Christ. If we are in Christ, we've been raised to walk in the newness of Christ. That newness of life is a resurrected life. That's the life that we are supposed to be living, a resurrected life. The enemy tries to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come to give us life and life more abundantly. That is the kind of life we are to be living. That doesn't mean we won't have problems. That doesn't mean there won't be hard times. But that just means that God will be walking with us through it. Amen? Amen. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24, verse 7. 1 through 7. Luke 24, verses 1 through 7. Now, I know there's lots of different variations in the Gospels to look at the different stories and accounts of Jesus' resurrection, but we're going to look at Luke's account today. Jesus has died, of course, on Friday night, right? Saturday is that in-between space where the enemy thought he had him, and then Sunday is where we're at. So this is where we're picking up in Scripture in Luke 24. It says this, "But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone that had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there, puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking? Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee." And then I apologize, verse 7 is not on the screen. "That the Son of Man must be betrayed in the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." So here we have the women showing up, right? They're bringing the spices and they thought they were going to just anoint his body. And they show up and he's gone. He's risen. Incredible, right? And they see these men, and the men, of course, are asking them a question. "Why are you looking for that which is alive in the cemetery? How often do we go back to the dead places of our lives and we try to look for some life? There's nothing there." Guys, the world has nothing to offer you but death. It might look good for a season, but ultimately it will end in death. Don't look for things that are alive and things that are dead. Great lesson for us. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Again, just another reference to the story. You guys doing good? Yeah. Is anybody hot? Is it just me? Okay. All right. It's all good. All right. Matthew 28, 8 through 10. Again, just another variation, but it says, "The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were frightened, but also filled with great joy. They rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there.'" Jesus meets with them, shows them who he is, gives them a message to go tell the disciples that he will meet them. Man, our God is so good. He cares for all of the details. So what does a resurrected life look like? Well, I'll tell you this. Number one, a life of freedom. We are called to live a life of freedom. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then we are called to live a life of freedom. The power of the resurrection has given us that ability to walk in our freedom. No chain could bind Jesus. No demon could stop him. Death couldn't keep him in the grave. The stone couldn't keep him. The Roman guards couldn't stop him. Satan couldn't keep him in the grave as much as he tried. And all of hell couldn't stop Jesus. He resurrected from the dead to life so that we can walk in freedom because of the power of Christ that's in us, not because of anything we can do. Amen. When Jesus died, Satan laughed. He thought he had him. He thought he had won, which I think is really interesting. He was so not in tune with what was going on. He thought he had won. He thought he's dead and it's all over. But he came back to life. You guys, he came back to life. He rose again. That means areas in our lives that are dead can come back to life. That means if you're dead in your sins right now and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You can ask him into your life. He can forgive you of your sins and you can start afresh today. Amen? That gives us such encouragement to know we can walk in freedom because Jesus came out of the grave, so can we. What you're facing is not death. Right? He was dead and was resurrected. Whatever you're going through, God's bigger than it. He brought Jesus out of the grave. He can do the same for you. Amen? Because Jesus is free, we can be free. Free from alcoholism, free from drugs, free from sexual immorality. We don't have to walk around angry or fearful. We don't have to be addicted to pornography and anything else that is against what God would want us to do and live. We don't have to be bound by those things because of freedom in Christ. Amen? Because of the work on the cross and because of him dying and resurrecting, we can walk in freedom. You can walk in freedom. Amen? Galatians 2:20 says this: "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Amen. We've been delivered from the power of sin. Sin no longer holds dominion over us. We've been delivered from self, our selfishness. I thank God that the old Michelle was crucified with Christ. I thank God that I daily try to die to myself, ask the Lord to help me to live for him. The life that I live is because of Christ. Nothing I can do. I need his grace. I need his forgiveness. And I know you do too. And that's what he gives today. He gives to you. I want to share a couple of verses, and these aren't going to be on the screen, but these are ones that are probably familiar to you. And I want to bring them as a reminder. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That means every single one of us, we all come to the same place at the cross of Jesus, right? For all have sinned. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." That's what we all deserved. But the gift of God, which is Jesus dying on the cross and resurrecting, his gift of salvation and forgiveness is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated his love for us while we were still sinners." Jesus from the cross said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing," right? Jesus died for all of us while we were still sinners. His grace is good. His grace is here today. His grace is here for you. Romans 9:10 says, "If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe it in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Amen? For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Satan will try to tell you that real life is found in the things of the world. He'll tell you that sin is wonderful and pleasurable, and it might be for a little bit, but don't misunderstand, there's always consequences. God is calling you today to live a resurrected life of freedom. Amen. Number two, resurrected life is a life of faith. I don't care who you are, how educated you are, how much money you have or don't have. In this life, we are going to be tested. If you're a believer, your faith will be tested. Has anyone been tested over the last few years with COVID and all the craziness in the political world? Yep. Every single one of us, right? We've been tested. Comes with a part of it because guess what? Our faith needs to rise. Our faith needs to grow. Our trust in God needs to grow up. Amen. And so these sufferings, even though God doesn't put them into the world, that's sin. He will use them to grow us up. We have to have a life of faith. Hebrews 2:18 says this. "Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested." How beautiful that our Savior came as a baby and became a man and went through all the things that humans go through so that why? He could understand what it's like for us as humans. He was tested so that he could understand what it's like when we're tested. That's pretty incredible. We didn't just serve a Savior who up from heaven said, "Good luck, everybody, figure it out on yourself." No, he came, for God so loved the world, right? That he gave his only son for you and for I. Jesus was tested in many ways. He suffered when his family thought he was crazy. He suffered in the garden, not wanting to go to the cross. He suffered all the way to Calvary. Body beyond beaten, beyond measure. Jesus passed the test and he won the victory. And because of that, we can walk in that. We can live by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says this, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." It's impossible to do anything. We can't please God without faith. We live by faith. Faith says God can turn this thing around. Faith says God can take my situation and turn it into from a mess to a message, from a test to a testimony. Amen. That's what our God can do. There's an older song that we sing sometimes, and I love it. It says this: because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. Life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen. Do we need to know anymore? Because he lives, my life is worth the living. He holds the future. We can trust him. A resurrected life is important. Amen? A life of freedom, a life of faith. Number three, a resurrected life means a life of abundance. God wants us to live abundantly. Now, that I'm not saying that means everybody's going to be all rich and having planes and all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about that kind of abundance. I'm talking about life impact, significance. Maybe God will give you favor financially. Absolutely, God does that. But that's not what that means. John 10:10 says this, and I referenced it earlier. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose, which is Christ, is to give them a rich and satisfying life, or life more abundantly in another version. If you're recognizing in your life that things that are getting stolen and things are just crazy negative in your life, that's the enemy. That's not God. God comes to give you a life and life more full, more abundant, exceedingly, very highly, beyond measure, more, far better than we can ever imagine. Ephesians 3:20, amen? That is the resurrected life. Now again, that doesn't mean perfect. Doesn't mean you won't have trials. Doesn't mean you won't go through hard things. But Jesus came that we would have life and more to the full. If you're not living that right now, man, he's here for you today, and he wants you to experience his abundance, amen? Remember, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus comes to give you life and life more abundantly. Amen? Until we enter into a relationship with God through Jesus, we may be physically alive, like breathing, but we're spiritually dead in our sin. So until you meet with Jesus and ask him into your life, you might be alive, but you're spiritually dead. It's when we accept Christ into our life that all of a sudden our spirit becomes alive in him. Amen? Oh, I love it. And the fourth thing, living a resurrected life, we can have a life of power. Again, not for our own sake, not to go ahead and yield that over other people, but the resurrected life is a life of power. A believer doesn't need to fear Satan. He's been defeated. Jesus already won. He's under our feet. Again, not because of anything that we can do, but because of the Christ in us. Some of you allow the enemy way too much power in your life. You need to take that back. You need to take captive those thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. You need to be careful what you're watching and what you're bringing into your sanctuary, what you're bringing into your home. Right? Take that back. Take back your marriage. Take back your home. Take back your kids. Begin praying like you never prayed before. Hebrews 2:14 through 18 says this: because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. That's us. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. Again, what a beautiful picture of not only our good Father, not only a King of Kings, but our Savior and Lord who took the place for us. because he loves us. In his life, Jesus destroyed the works of the devil, right? But in his death, he destroyed the devil. Amen. That's beautiful. The devil and everything he's capable of doing lay on the floor of that empty tomb. No longer any power. He took away the keys to death and hell. He bruised the serpent's head. That's what our Savior has done. He's alive. And we are to live a resurrected life because of that. Everything Jesus did in his life and his death, his burial and his resurrection and ascension was done for you and for me. We have the power over the enemy, you guys. The power comes from Jesus Christ. The power to come back from life, death to life. While Jesus was 100% God, he became as a human so that he could overcome every test that we face and demonstrate the power of God for us. He did that for us. And Arabella, if you'll come up. She's got a few scriptures as we get ready to close this morning. We celebrate his resurrection. And I know there's somberness to the reality of his death on his cross. And I know we can never begin to understand what Jesus went through in his humanness. We can watch movies and maybe get an idea of how terrible and gruesome it was, but we don't really know. And I think for so often we take that for granted that Jesus chose the cross for you and I. He chose it, knowing our path. But he did it anyways, to obey the will of the Father. God so loved the world that he gave his only son that we could be forgiven of our sins. So that we could not only be forgiven of our sins, but walk a resurrected life, live a resurrected life of freedom, of faith, of abundance, of power. Again, not because of anything we can do, but because of the Christ in us. Luke 10:19 says this, "Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy." And this is, "and you can walk among the snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you." We have authority in the name of Jesus because of Jesus. Amen. Ephesians 1:19-20 says, "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms." And the last scripture is this, and I love it. "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, where does it live? Lives in you, lives in me." The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, lives in you, lives in me. That means we can operate in a lot more freedom. We can walk in a lot more healing. When people we know are sick, we can pray for them and they can be healed because of Jesus' power, right? That lives in us, amen? And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. That same Spirit is in you today. Now, I know some of you are here today and you're like, "It's dead in there. I got nothing but deadness." It's okay. God's grace is here for you today. And he can take that deadness and move it to life in a moment if you respond to him today. Some of you in here, maybe you've never even, you don't even know what we're talking about. You're like, "Who's Jesus?" Maybe you've never asked him into your life to be your Lord and Savior. Today could be an opportunity for you to do that. Some of you here today, you've got things in your life that are just dead. Maybe it's dreams, maybe it's relationship. I don't know what that is for you, but that can come back to life because of the power of Christ.